Blog Talk Radio.
morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining in on this Monday night, the first Monday, the first night of March, March 1st, 2021. I'm your host on tonight, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. And again, I would like to just say thank you for coming aboard to be in the service with us with Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, Worldwide Ministries. I just want to say I am excited about tonight. I got a little message a little while ago that our speaker is running a little late, Dr. Serena Wright, but we're going to go on and continue with the program until she could come on board and release the word of God that he has placed in her to share with us on today. Well, this evening, rather. So with that being said, we're going to get started with prayer, and we're going to go straight into just a little conversation because this is Iron Sharpening Iron. Let's Talk. This is the name of the program. It's called Let's Talk. So on tonight, we're going to talk about a couple of things. So are you ready? While I'm praying, please get your Bibles, pencils, pads, and notebooks that you may be able to write down a couple of key conversations or key points that you would like to focus in on later tonight or the rest of this week or from this point on. You want to go back and look it up for yourself. So please, like I said, put your phones on mute. Before I forget, put your phones on mute and just hold on so that when the program is before at the end that you can make comments. Once we open the lines, you can unmute your phones. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. So let us know that you are enjoying the ministry. So let's go into prayer. Touch and agree with me. Father God, we come to you on this evening, God, thanking you for another opportunity to get before you, to get before your altar, to hold on to the altar, to ask you for forgiveness of our sins, knowingly, unknowingly, sins that had crossed through our minds, sins of reminiscing, sins of reaction, sins of thoughts, God, sins of action. Anything and everything that we did, God, that did not please you, did not give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, God, we ask you to just take that out of us, ask you to forgive us for that, and just be our Lord, God. Teach us how to be your people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of our life. Teach us how to want to be considered as your people, and we will have you as our God. Father God, we thank you again for all that you're doing, for all that you have done. We thank you for just coming into our lives, giving us the opportunity to come before you, giving us the opportunity to pray for our family, our friends, our jobs, our loved ones. God, pray for our neighbors. Pray for ourselves, God. I thank you for everything that you're doing for us again. I thank you for being God all by yourself. So I will just say, the woman of God has just texted me something. I'm trying to read it. And I'm thanking God. She says she's on the line. So with her being on the line, we're going to just say amen to the prayer. And we're just going to thank God for keeping this ministry line in your ear gates, in your eyes, in your memories that you just want to just hear from the different men and women of God that's speaking. And with that said, I'm going to check to see if the woman of God is ready. She is. We're going to get started. If not, we're going to give her a little time to get ready. Dr. Wright, are you ready?
I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very loud and clear. I'm handing it over to you, Dr. Wright, so that you can release what God has put in your spirit on tonight.
I thank you so much, woman of God. I just greet all of the Blog Talk audience and those that will reach this message by way of the archives. I just want you to know that when you're listening to this 100 years from today and all of the blog talk staff and the visionary sitting in heavenly places, but just know that you are already in the heart of the Lord and the Father, and he placed this message in the archive just for you. So as you listen, be blessed and know that decades and centuries of people had you in the mind because they had God in their heart, and they created an archive system just for you. But for those of us that are here now, if you would just go with me, we just bless all those that need to be blessed. We honor those that live in honorable places. We pray for those that are having issues that are bringing them outside of the destiny of God, because we know that we all want to be those that love him and serve him and do him good in the earth. We thank God for those that host this platform and other platforms where the word of the God, the word of the Lord can come forth and the truth can be told. We do not believe that this is the only place that the truth of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ is being shared, but we do know that this is one of them. And so we thank God for those that host, that are responsible and faithful and committed, and we just speak blessings that are bountiful and increase unto you 1,000 times over for all that you have done. We thank God for you. If you would go with me to the Bible. Go with me to the Bible. You have entered what God, what Holy Spirit has instructed me to call the recovery room, because for the last few months, I apologize to all of those. Actually, I actually missed out, because when I miss Blog Talk, I miss out. Say that. Say that to yourself. Say, when I miss Blog Talk, I miss out. I miss out. So not only do I bring to you how much I was grieved that I could not be with you all last month, I realized that I missed out, because the Spirit of the Lord is resident in those that minister on this platform. Say with me, when I miss Blog Talk, I miss out. I miss out. So I missed out last month, but I made it up. I made it up. I made it up. And I encourage you to do the same. If you would turn with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we're entering into a season of what God, the Holy Spirit has directed me to call the recovery room, because for the last 4 or 5 months, he's been talking to me about recovery strategies, admonishing me to recover. Did you hear me say me? Because the word of the Lord is best I know to every prophet is to that prophet first. I just helped somebody. But the word of the Lord to me, and that peace that he's allowed me to release, has been strategies, biblical strategies, biblical strategies, kingdom strategies, strategies for the recovery. What I find is that everybody's breathing, and most people that are breathing and inhaling and exhaling are living, but there are many that are not recovering. Not just many that are outside the church, not just those that have found themselves in addiction, not just those that have found themselves in illicit affairs and relationships, not just those that have found themselves in fraudulent behavior, but many, many are not recovering, because the Bible has let us know life will happen to every man. But through him, we get the recovery. We get the recovery. We get the recovery. I know that for some people, you already disheartened because you believe that once you had a relationship with Jesus, you'd never have another problem. So you're ready to turn off all of my messages about recovery. But I encourage you to save your place in the recovery room, because if you keep living, there will be something. There'll be something to recover from. Somebody will get the parking spot in front of the grocery store. Somebody will take the last red apple out of the food stand. There'll always be a reason to recover. Somebody say recover. So God has been admonishing me about the recovery, how to posture myself to recover, the mindset to recover, the willingness to recover, submission needed to recover, the framework of recovery, the infrastructure of recovery, the kingdom admonishment of recovery, God's plan for your recovery, how he advocates that you recover, how he is praying for you. Yeah, I'm in the Bible. He told Peter, I'm praying that your faith don't fail you. My goodness. He said, I'm praying, somebody say, that you recover. Go with me with Mark chapter 5, chapter 5. I am reading, as is always the case, from the Amplified Bible, Mark chapter 5. We are talking about the recovery. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. So you, Jesus. Listen, I am, you know that as soon as you try to step into this place, hallelujah, glory to God. So we have looked at this, at recovery, from so many different scriptures. We looked at recovery from the Old Testament. We looked at it, well, let me say this, from Old Testament principles, from the framework of the Old Testament, from the promise of the New Covenant. We have been looking at recovery. And if you would keep in mind all of those people, there are many people across the globe, not just in North America where I am, but across the globe that have been impacted in this season, impacted financially, impacted in ways that they had never imagined that life would impact them. There are many people that were once working outside the home. They're carrying those same positions on inside the home. They've had to change addresses and change locations and change family structure. The landscape of their lives have changed. There have been so many instances or recovery. Even a very close friend of mine had a death of a loved one just over the weekend, and just so many people impacted at the loss of life in so many different ways. Somebody said, we've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared, somebody say, to recover. What I found is that we are living unprepared, and that's why God is directing us to his word. If you will go with me, Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse, we are going to start in verse 20. We're going to read verse 20 through 23, Mark chapter 5, verse 20 through 23. He says, and he departed and began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished and marveled. This was a man that was demon-possessed, and God had set him free, and then he went, and as they mentioned, he began to tell everybody about this man that had liberated him from his demon possession. 21, and when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lake shore. One of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. 24, and begged him earnestly. Let me go back. 22, then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet. 23, and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. God, we just thank you right now for recovery strategies that will not fail, that are kingdom everlasting, for the growth and development of your people in Jesus' name. You all, we are talking about recovery, and as I've already shared, we have got to be so prepared to recover. We've got to be prepared to recover personally. We've got to be prepared to share with friends and loved ones, with people at the bus stop, in the laundromat, how to recover. And so when we look here at the scripture in Mark chapter 5, Jesus had been going from region to region, commanding evil spirits to come out of people, commanding demons to come out and be cast out of people. He was revolutionizing this geographical region with his deity, with that is kingdom, but the kingdom was being established as he moved through the earth. He was establishing it. He would finish it, be resurrected, ascend, and send back the Holy Spirit as comforter and friend. My goodness. And so in Mark chapter 5, we see that there were throngs of people. Hallelujah, glory to God. There were throngs of people, and dare I say that he did not have to compromise or get on social media half-dressed, but he walked in the purpose, his God-given purpose, and there were throngs of people that followed him. He did not have to sacrifice sacrifice who he was to the Father. He did not have to abdicate his role in the kingdom in order to get followers. He did not have to use profane language. He did not have to disrespect his parents. He did not have to be rude to his husband. All he had to do was walk in his godly assignment. Somebody saying he got followers. He got followers. He got followers. How many people know that social media is said followers because that's what Jesus had? There's nothing new under this sun. Hallelujah. If you want to get real followers, somebody say, do what the Father assigned you to do. He would get all these followers, and the crowds would become so overwhelming that he would try to divert to a different region so that he could continue to go without being suffocated and trampled and causing complete public havoc in a region. And 21 says, and when Jesus recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him there. So he just couldn't get away with it. He had just gotten to the lake shore, and here comes another crowd, 22. And then the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his and then to Martha was saying, my little daughter is at the point of death, come and lay your hands on her, that she may live and be healed. And so that is where we will sink our teeth, because what we find is just like some of us, Jairus was in a situation. He was in a circumstance, and he had heard about a way to be he had heard about all the things that Jesus had been doing, that things had been happening that were beyond understanding, that were beyond cultural norm, that were beyond science and philosophy, that were beyond diagnosis, that were beyond financial devastation. He had heard all about it, and so he was one of the ones that was in the crowd waiting for Jesus to come back over on the other side. It says that he was a ruler of the synagogue, and it says Jairus by name. And that is where we'll find our first recovery point for tonight. You all, I find recovery points all through the gospel. The first one for tonight, he said Jairus by name, because if you study this out, Jairus was a spiritual leader and an administrator of the things of the church. He was not just someone that prepared a message or that studied a passage, but he also was a man about the business of setting up things, of establishing things the way they should be, making sure that everything according to the culture was in order concerning worship and concerning prayer, concerning the supplications. He was also in a very strong administrative church position in the synagogue. The Bible said he was a ruler. It was a ruler of the synagogue. And he said Jairus by name because he was known. He was someone of notoriety. And so he was not just in a high position, but he personally was well known. But it says, based on his situation, that when he saw him, he says, and seeing him, hallelujah, he was positioning himself to get into God's presence. You know how I know? Because it says when he saw him, he prostrated himself. And so the first place of our recovery for tonight, hallelujah, people of God, there are those of you that have situations where your marriage is dying and your finances are dying. You're looking at the future of your son and it looks like it's dying. You're looking at your future career and they laid you off and it looks like your career is dying, but you have position and you've made contact with all your colleagues and you've reached out to everybody you know and they're calling you by name, but when you take on this strategy, hallelujah, you will be in the first place. The Holy Spirit has directed us tonight, because the situation that we have before God today is one that can only be settled in his presence. Somebody say, you've got to get in his presence. I know you got a name, and I know you got a title, and I know you got position, and I know you got responsibility. I know a lot of people are counting on you. I know everybody in the family, you're the go-to person, and you're the one that always has the answer. But for the situation that is before you now, somebody say you're going to have to get in his presence. Listen, Jairus heard of him, so he positioned himself at the lake shore so that he could position himself in his presence. We've got to posture ourselves before the Lord. You've got to recognize that nobody at the synagogue knows. It's not that those pastors don't care, they don't know. It's not that your prayer partner partner doesn't care, she doesn't know. It's not that your best friend doesn't care, sir, he doesn't know. Would you somebody say, posture yourself. Get yourself by the lakeshore and get in his presence. This situation is a situation for the presence of God and the presence of God alone. Hallelujah, glory to God. There are things that the Spirit of the Lord, my God, we thank you, want to share, want to impart, want to release. I've even heard a man of God say, want to download. There are some things that Holy Spirit wants to impart, wants to give you revelation and insight, wants to have you change your paradigm. You've got to, somebody say, you've got to get in his presence. Jairus positioned himself. He didn't stay in the synagogue. He didn't stay around his friends. He didn't let his position hold him back. He didn't let his influence hold him back. He didn't let the fact that his name was known hold him back. Somebody saying, neither should you. If you want to get this situation fixed, sis, you're going to have to get in his presence. If you want to get this situation fixed, sir, see, there are many situations. Lord, have mercy. We thank you. In Mark chapter 5, there are many situations in Mark chapter 5. Some of them, Jesus went directly up to them. Some of them, Jesus went directly up to them. But I'm telling you, the word of the Lord would say, you are going to have to bring yourself, somebody say, into its presence. For the recovery that you're seeking, it's not that God doesn't have it for you, but he's admonishing you into his presence. And the situation is bigger than that. It's more than just what you're seeing, sir. It's more than just what you're looking at, ma'am. You've got to get in his presence. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and he prostrated himself. He did not just get in his presence, but he came immediately into humility. Hallelujah. He said he prostrated himself. He didn't just prostrate himself, but he did at his feet. He acknowledged his deity. See, sometimes we've got to be brought into that place where we say, God, it's you and you alone. You are not a resource. You're my only source. Somebody say, you've got to get in his presence, and you've got to be humble. You've got to get in his presence. Somebody's saying, you've got to be humble. It's not about that anymore, sir. It's not about what you had or what you've lost. It's not about what you know or where you've been. Somebody say, get in his presence and be humble. Don't just stand there face to face. Don't just stand in his presence. Do you know that when Jesus came across on the lakeshore, Jairus could have just stood there. Like, you know who I am and you know what I need. Get to it. Y'all, let me hear what said. Hear the Holy Spirit. Hear Holy Spirit as long as you can. Get in his presence. Somebody saying, get humble. Get down in that place of fasting. Get down in that place of repentance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you all, you need to be humble to somebody in the natural and take that same humility to the presence of the Lord. Oh, I'm hearing God real good and clear. Somebody that's listening, or you will be listening real, real soon, you need to take that humility to the person you offended and take that exact same humility into the presence of the Lord. Some people, y'all, this is for the big boys and girls. You haven't done one thing wrong, and God still gonna cause you to be humble in the face of people that are talking about you real bad. And then take that same humility into the presence of the Lord. Don't give the size of self. Say, see, I apologize to them, and they were wrong, Jesus. That's about as low as I'm going to go. No, go ahead and get in his presence. Go ahead and stay humble. God's got something wonderful for you. God's got something miraculous for you. God's got something amazing for you. Somebody say, get in his presence and stay humble. Get in his presence and stay humble. Point number three, and we're almost done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said he begged him earnestly. You know how else I know he was humble? He begged him. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. You know how I know he got humble? He begged him. He said, whatever I got to do, I got to do. Wherever I got to work to feed my family, I got to work. Wherever I've got to say yes, I understand, I got to say yes, I understand. Y'all, let me tell you something. Humility is the secret weapon to a proud Babylon. Humility is the secret weapon in a proud Babylon. Somebody say he begged him. Yeah, sometimes you're going Donna has to go before somebody that's as wrong as two left shoes tied backwards and say, oh, you know what, that might have happened like that, forgive me, when you know it didn't happen, nothing like that. But go ahead on and be humble, because God's got something wonderful, sir. God's got something amazing, ma'am. It's going to be something that nobody will be able to take credit for. Somebody say, if you go ahead and get in his presence and be humble, it says he begged him earnestly. And if you study out that word earnestly, it says that he was intent and he was sincere. Somebody say he was intent and he was sincere. And let's just clear this up. Something Holy Spirit asked me to put a pin in. Intensity does not mean dramatization and pure emotionalism. Hallelujah. Do you know you can be at a chess game where you beg not talk? Have you ever been in a chess tournament? I'm talking about two chess champions trying to outsmart each other with these pieces and strategy, and you can hear a pin drop a mile away because everybody that knows how to play is scared to talk, and everybody that doesn't know how to play is just following the lead. And so intense does not mean emotionalism, dramatization, crying and screaming, and you don't mean a word of it. He said earnestly. I love the fact that it's that the definition says intense and sincere. Do you know emotions alone can be insincere? If you ever seen anybody raise a child, if you know anybody with a child, do you know a child will cry and look up to see if you're looking? Somebody say emotions alone can be insincere. But he was earnest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He came into his presence. He was humble, hallelujah, and he was sincere. He begged God. He petitioned him. He asked him because he knew he had the answer. He came before him and poured his heart out. Let me tell you something. There is a place where you've got to pour your heart out to God. You've got to tell him every single thing, sis. You've got to tell him how it hurt and why it hurt and when they said it and what they did and why you tolerated it. Somebody say, be intense, but be sincere. Tell God exactly what happened. Don't say, God, I'm praying about that thing that happened yesterday. You say you're everywhere and you saw it, so what's the solution? No. Get before him in humility. Somebody say, be intense, but be sincere. Say, God, this is what I really wanted, and I'm devastated I didn't get it. You told me to do this, and you told me to do that. I did it to the best of my ability, and it still failed. It's still falling. It's still a mess in the middle of a mess. I'm hurt and I don't touch you. I'm mad and I'm angry. Oh, my God. This man was intense, but he was sincere. Oh, I'm so glad the Bible didn't tell us what he said, because intensity can be intense. Y'all don't want to hear what I'm saying. Get to God and tell him the truth. Say, God, I never thought this would happen. I never thought my salvation would cross paths with this level of devastation. I never thought salvation would cross paths with this level of disappointment. I never thought my supervisor would be this racist and wouldn't show it until today. I never imagined. Somebody say, be intense, but be sincere. We've got to put away phony baloney. We've got to get intense and be sincere. Do you want your daughter raised? He says she's about to die. I don't have time to play around with church people. I don't have time to play around with sexist people. I don't have time to play around with racist people. I've got to get to God and say, God, you see how they are. Change their heart and save them, draw them, or drive them. Y'all, I'm telling you, intensity can be intense, but all he's asking you to do is be sincere. Do you know Jairus didn't bring an agenda of his own besides the redemption of his daughter? The Bible says he was intense and sincere. He came to God. He said, this is the one I've got to get in front of. This man right here, the one that's telling me that's doing things transformative. He's setting free people that have been demonized their whole lives. He's revolutionizing this region. I've got to get in his presence. Somebody say, get in his presence. I know you think the world has told you that that's hopeless. Just get in his presence. I know that the financial institution said there's no way, but God said, get in his presence. Come in there with humility, not with what you've been, not with what you've had, not with your expectations, but if you've got to tell the truth, somebody say, be sincere. Tell God all about it. Do you know you can tell God something in humility? The kids say it'll hit different than if you tell them in pride. Go ahead and tell them to be sincere. Go ahead and tell them to be humble. Say, God, I know you know better, but I've got to let you know I'm devastated. God, I know that you didn't bring me here, but that's a complete plan for a hope and an expectation. But I've got to tell you how heartbroken I am. Somebody say he was intense and he was sincere. He found himself in the presence of the Lord. He knew that nobody else could help his situation. He humbled himself. The Bible says, and he begged earnestly. He was intense and he was sincere. The last point, number four. He says, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed. Somebody say, and live. Ah, hallelujah. So that she may be healed and live. Hallelujah. Do you know that more so, if you look at it from a certain vantage point, it would look like Jairus was saying, look, this is what I want and this is all that I'll accept. But because he had already demonstrated his humility, if you read it through the humility and the sincerity that the scripture has already led us, you realize he's saying that my confidence in your ability is that you are the only one that can bring her to restoration and success. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. The only way she can recover from death and not just be healed but live. Do you know that some people have gotten healed, but they healed and stuck? Lord have mercy. That they healed and they still mad. But they healed and they selfish. That they did get healed. They no longer have that particular problem. But they got a barrel of other problems they never released to the Lord. God said that, but if you come, but because see, if you lay your hands on her, see, that's my confidence, that's my expectation of you, of your ability, that she not only she'll be healed, but she'll live. Somebody say, tell God how confident you are in. Tell God how much you believe. Tell God that what I am asking for, what I do need, peace that passes all understanding in the midst of this situation. That's only you can do that. God, to tell me a strategy to navigate through this marital relationship, only you can do that. To give me the strategy, oh God, to minister salvation to my grandfather, only you can do that. Only you can give us those things that would bring us recovery and life. Hallelujah, glory to God. You're going to have to tell God how confident you are in his ability. You're going to have to believe what you're saying. Somebody say, I believe God. Help my unbelief. If you have to tell him, say, God, I believe that you can do this and this. Anything in me that's unbelieving, help me. Because I believe you're the Son of the living God. I believe that you rose, again on the third day. I believe you took hell captive and have released the authority of the kingdom since you dwell in me, in my mortal body. God, but if there be any unbelief, help my unbelief. He said, only you. He declared his confidence in his believing. If you come lay your hands, God, if you give me a strategy, God, if you speak a word, God, if you intervene, God, if you touch his heart, God, if you touch their mind, God, if you intercept, God, if your way is done, God, if your path is clear, oh, tell him how you confidently believe him. Oh, my God, get in his presence. Get down humble before him. Tell him everything. everything sincerely and with intensity and believe and declare with confidence he's the only God that you have. Say, for God I live. This is the one. This is it. I don't have a part-time alternate God. You know how they'll call herbal medicine alternative medicine. Say, I don't have an alternative God. It's you and you alone. You're the only God I'll ever serve. You're the only God that can bring this situation some clarity. You're the only God that can clear up this misunderstanding me and my son have been having for the last 10 years. You're the only God. You're the only God that can change a heart. You're the only God that can change a mind. If you intervene, if you intercept, oh my God, she'll live and be healed. If you speak a word, if you touch a heart, if you touch a mind, if you put your hand on the Capitol building, if you touch Congress, if you touch North America, if you touch Antarctica, if you prosper Asia, she'll never go back to savagery and cruelty. If you touch Africa, if you intervene, if you help, if you are lead the way, tell them all about it. Tell God of your confidence in him. Tell him about it. Get into his presence. Lead off with humility. Tell him in all sincerity how you believe and are confident in him, and then carry out and watch him. The Bible goes on to say that that very same little girl, she rose. The Bible says, he says straightway, 42, she got up and started walking around. I'm telling you, Jairus not only got that miracle, not only got that she would be healed and living, but all the people saw it. All the people witnessed it. All the people went and told the story. Oh, it lives in the annals of history forever. It'll revolutionize your family. It'll change your daughter forever. Your husband will never cheat. Not just with her, he'll never cheat again. Oh, God, that's the recovery strategy. We've got to go in. We've got to get into the presence of the Lord. I know it's easier to tell your friends, but it's his presence. It's his presence that's the solution, sis. Go in with humility. Go in with sincerity. Tell God all about it. Tell them how confident you are in him. Tell them how much you believe him. Proclaim his goodness. Declare his wonders. Tell him what you know about him. Tell him that you know he's the God that can. Tell him that you know that he's the God that has. Tell him that you know he only has good things in store for you. And watch it straightway. The Bible says she got up instantly and looked for immediate results. Look all around. Get up, sir. Get up after you carried out your strategy, and look for instant recovery. Look for instant restoration. Look for instant recovery. The Bible says straightway, believe the prophet and watch you prosper. Oh, the Bible says straightway. If you're looking for a straightway recovery, somebody say use the strategy. If you're looking for a straightway recovery, I know they said they're not hiring anybody back, but I promise you they'll hire you back straightway. I know he said he's never coming back, but I promise you he'll be back straightway. Somebody say use the strategy. Use the strategy. I know they're racist. I know they're unbelieving. I know they said they're atheists. Somebody say straightway. They're going to call you and pray. They're going to call you and pray, sis. He's going to call you and pray, ma'am. She's going to call you and pray, sir. She's going to say, Daddy, can I pray with you? Somebody say straightway. Look for a straightway blessing. Look for a straightway miracle. Use the recovery strategy. Somebody say, believe the prophet and prosper. Look for a straightway strategy. Father God, in the name name of Jesus. We thank you for our straightway strategy tonight. We have heard it and we receive it. We take in the strategy that you have given us, and we will go forward without doubting and unbelief. We will go forward in humility and refuse pride. We will seek out your presence in worship and in the study of your word. We will bring ourselves before you with sincerity, even if it becomes intense. We will be authentic in your presence, that you might manifest and bring forth that you have predestined for us before the foundation of the world, and that you and you alone will be glorified in everything that is said and is done. So that might you for it in Jesus' name, and it is so, and amen. It's back to you, woman of God.
Ooh, amen, 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 amen. I thank God for tonight. I thank God for the word on tonight. I thank God for the recovery. I thank God for the recovery. Hallelujah. I thank God for the recovery. I'm going to let others speak before I give my testimony. I'm going to tell you right now, the lines are open. Please speak into the woman of God's life on tonight to let her know how she encouraged you by telling you about the recovery. The lines are open. Go ahead.
Hey, man, this is Cecilia. Just wanted to tell Dr. Rice, thank you. I want to just say thank you for these nuggets that I wrote down. You were talking to us and preaching to us and educating us and giving us wisdom on when God sees us and when we see him, to make sure that God knows our name. My God, you were talking about getting before God and being in his presence in the correct posture and the position. I mean, you talked to us about humbly laying ourselves and everything before God. I mean, oh my, my, my. And about being consistently sincere and humbly having our intensity in the things that we have before God and being healed and being healed and live and recovering and having a posture of a recovered life. There were so many nuggets and so much verification and validation on the various things that God has been sharing with us. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the consistency in your life before God, to have a woman of God that speaks to us and preaches before God to us and is living what you preach about. I honor you, Dr. Wright. I appreciate you, and I love you with the love of God, and you just don't know everything that Apostle Sandra Thomas instilled in you. It's just, oh, my God, it's second to none. I love you, woman of God, and I appreciate you. Keep obeying God. Keep living for God. Keep doing what you're doing, because God is so pleased, and I am so, so godly proud of you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle Elect, for speaking those words. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to the woman of God on tonight?
Good evening, Saints. This is Minister Margo. I just wanted to say I enjoyed what I heard of the message. I'm sorry I came in a little late. I normally have my clock set, but I didn't today. I just want to thank Dr. Wright always for her exhortation to us, for her energy, for her intensity. And I really appreciate what she said about being confident, going to God in confidence, knowing we can depend on him, that his word is always, always exactly what he said it would be. And I just want to encourage her to continue on in her walk with God. And thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for your commitment to this ministry. And I praise and thank God to be able to be part of it. And just want to encourage you to continue doing what you're doing for God. And he sees you, and he is very proud. Thank you again. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Margo. Is there anyone else who would like to speak into the woman of God's life on tonight? Well, woman of God, I'm going to share this testimony with you. I had been conversating with Apostle-elect for a little over a week, and I had been telling her about some things that was going on with me with my health, and I kept saying, I can't do nothing but trust God. I don't care what they say. I don't care what anybody else say. I have to trust God because I know that my healing is only going to come through God. Being confident in God, being dependable, and knowing I could depend on God, and just coming to God honestly and just say, God, I'm going to stay here in your presence. I'm going to stay here on the altar and just trust you. Whatever you say, God, it's okay with me. Just to know that we don't have no alternative God. We don't have no alternate God. We only have one God. I just want to say I thank God for his many blessings that he has just poured into my life just in this past week. Not being selfish, but being selfish because it could have went another way. It could have went another way, but my God, my one and only true God, and I'm definitely a follower of Jesus Christ. I just want to say thank you for the lesson that you taught on tonight as Apostle and Minister Margo was saying, that we know that we have a God that covers us, heals us, protects us, and provides for us. Thank you, Dr. Wright, for your message on tonight. Amen. So I'm going to ask the doctor, right, if she have any further comments she wants to make before I give the closing remarks and Dr. Wright pray us out. Dr. Wright, do you have any further comments or requests that you would like to share with us on tonight?
Thank you so much, woman of God. And we just agree with you as you press into the place of God's presence. In that same chapter, if you look a little further, when Jesus went to heal Jairus' daughter, there were some that laughed at the fact that he was still had the audacity to believe that it could be different. And so we just understand that some don't understand. And the Bible says when they laughed at him because he was still moving in the direction of healing her after it was what they declared was hopeless, the Bible says he put them out.
Yeah.
And so we just declare over your life the boldness to step into the audacity of believing. No matter what the circumstances, and we agree with you at that level of ridiculous boldness and believing, as you are pressing to the place of the miraculous and the straightway. And we just thank God for this platform and for all of you all that have listened, Minister Margo and Sister. So I know that Sister Sheila does come on when she can, and sometimes she's listening and just is not in a place where she can talk, and Minister Sylvia and Apostle Alexis Cecilia, I cannot tell you all how the words of encouragement from you all are so timely and so heartfelt. I completely appreciate and I do receive them. I have come to a place in God that I am just so filled with the gratitude of the Father as it pertains to his people. And so for anyone to say anything to me that, you know, directed toward encouragement, I receive it completely. If you all will just continue to pray with me, this is such a time in my life, a wonderful time of expectation and hope. And so if you would just continue to pray with me, and we will continue, and we will continue most definitely to pray with you all, like the Bible says, with sincerity and with intensity. Woman of God, did you want me to pray, or you want to give the closing remarks first?
I want to give the closing remarks first before, because once you pray,
okay,
that's it, that's all, that's enough. So I just want to thank you all again for tuning in to listen to the message on tonight, which is the recovery. You can catch it in the archives. But like the woman of God said, make sure you're prostrate in front of God. Make sure you're in his presence. Make sure you go to him intense. Be sincere and be humble when you go to God. Don't forget our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This was our first Monday in the month of March, which our speaker was Dr. Serena Wright. This Friday coming up will be our first Friday of the month of March, which will be the 5th. I will be the speaker, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will also be on Facebook Live. This will also be our first Sunday coming up, which will be the 7th, which will be Apostle-elect, yes, Lord, Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser. They will be on the air at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, Blog Talk Ministries. This will be our second Monday coming up, which will be the 8th of March. It will also be on Facebook Live with Pastor Servant Troy Thomas, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please, when you see our postings on Facebook, please share them, pin them to remind yourself to look at them and listen. And don't forget, we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Dr. Wright, would you pray us out now?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you so much, God, for the truth of your word and for the strategies of heaven, God, that you have released on earth. We thank you, God, that as we sit in the recovery room, God, that we speak only after your presence in humility, that we might pour out our hearts with sincere intensity, God, declaring our confident belief in who you are. We thank you right now, God, that you are only bringing us to an expectation and a hope that we might take in your word in hearts that are good soil to bring forth the fruit of right living and advance your agenda. We thank you for all things that you have done and those things that are finished. And we appreciate you, oh God, like never before, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Good night.
Amen. Good night, everyone.